This is the Anderson Files on PodClip. The Anderson Files is a look at commerce, investment, economics, and retirement issues that affect each and every one of you. Your host is Mike Anderson, Executive Vice President, Retirement Services, and partner of Finestone Partners. Finestone Partners is an independent firm with securities offered through Four Point Capital. And now your host, Mike Anderson. Welcome to the Anderson Files. I'm Mark Allen, sitting in for Mike Anderson, our regular host. Mike is actually going to be our guest today as we do a market update on this edition of the Anderson Files. Mike, thanks for having me sit in. Let's start with a look at the market. Is it still a bull market right now?
It is. And Mark, thanks for agreeing to host today. Really appreciate it. It's always wonderful when you can sit in. We are, and using a Wall Street term of a melt up instead of a meltdown, we're in a melt up right now. And this is where the market, the general market, has been moving up steadily, grinding up for 20 to 30 days, trading days. And that's really where we are right now, with almost no negative day through that period. So that's what's called a melt up. And they don't happen very often, but with optimism and anticipation, we see these occur. Market is hitting earlier this week, the major indices hit new highs. They did hit new highs. They backed off a little bit yesterday. And the primary trend right now, what we see for the next year, 2 years, is primarily up.
And that's the question is, the market is like a bubble. It has to burst sometime, or does it?
Well, a bubble with a rubber band attached to it. Okay, let's describe it that way. And markets have gone up aggressively year to date. You know, S&P right now year to date is up over 16%. Dow, NASDAQ are also up. The Russell 2000, and the market right now is also considered short term, what would be considered overbought. So we're expecting the market to back off a little bit here, Earlier this year, very robust indicator of the markets is large, mid-size, and small companies moving up in tandem across all 11 industry groups. Very healthy indication. Over the last couple of weeks, 2-3 weeks now, that what's moving the market up has narrowed considerably. Just over the last couple of weeks, just 8 stocks have accounted for more than half of the S&P 500's gain over the last couple of weeks. So we're seeing this narrowing, and that's usually an indication that the market's ready to pause a little bit. That rubber band's getting stretched, and now it's going to contract a little bit. That's usually an indication, and does not mean that we're moving into a bear market, but some profit taking place, market taking a breather, a pause, and then moving back up.
Is this a good time for people to get into the market?
The age-old question, and to take a page from professional traders that are out there on Wall Street, probably not. Right now, hold what you have. Markets are expected to back off a little bit here, a little better buying position over the next couple of weeks. For both the short-term investor and the longer-term investor. So the risk-reward right now is not that great in the short term. But expecting the market to back off a little bit here, and then investors will have a much better be in much better position to buy for both the short term and the long term.
The term correction comes to mind also. During the pandemic, you and I had talked a couple times, and you had said that there was a correction, but the correction was, and people were panicking because of the correction. They were getting out, but you pointed out that it was a very small percentage of the market falling. I mean, it was like 2-4%, and it was still up higher than the year before.
Exactly. So since April of last year, so we know March of last year was the month that we saw the big decline when COVID, the pandemic, hit the markets. And from April up to the present, markets have steadily moved up. Within that time period, though, we've had two down periods. We had two down periods. They were basically in June and early fall of last year. And the and during those times, for a very short period of time, the markets dropped, the major indices dropped about 5-7%.
But it was still up over the previous year, which would be 2019.
Right. And so from April up to those points where there were these short 5-7% drops, the year to dates, despite what happened in March, we're still up year to date. So short-term pause, decline, a real textbook correction is actually 15-20% decline. We only saw 5-7% declines, and we saw that twice within this overall primary trend of the market continuing to move up.
You mentioned that 50% of the market, the S&P 500, are a number of industries or specific stocks. Can you name two of those right now for us?
Absolutely. So it would be basically Apple and Microsoft. So within this current move up in the market, we have a very short list of stocks that are driving primarily the market up. And within that, it's primarily tech. It's Apple and Microsoft. Breaking it down.
We're going to take some time. And when we come back, we're going to talk about interest rates in just a couple of moments. This is the Anderson Files with Mike Anderson. I'm Mark Allen, kind of grilling Mike on this edition of the Anderson Files. And you can find the Anderson Files everywhere, especially at podclips.io. I'm Mark Allen, sitting in for Mike. Let's take a look at interest rates. They're at an all-time low. I mean, within literally points, unless you owe money on a credit card, which can be up to almost 30%, buying a car is zero, maybe 1%. New credit cards are about the same, 2%, 3%. Buying a house right now, I mean, there's not enough inventory, not only in California, but apparently throughout the country, because the interest rates for real estate mortgages is so low. Is this going to continue?
Well, what we see on rates, the Fed, our friends in the Federal Reserve and Chairman Powell repeatedly saying that the Fed funds rate is going to stay at zero or near zero, at least for the next year, year and a half, maybe even 2 years. And they're getting a little pressure about backstepping on that statement, because we're seeing inflation ticking up as the economy is opening back up. We're seeing more demand for money, more demand for goods and services. And we're seeing the rates that the Fed does not control starting to inch up. The key rate being the 10-year Treasury note. A year ago, you know, we were hanging around 0.55%, 0.65% interest rate on a 10-year Treasury note. Well, you know, up earlier this year, not too long ago, it bounced up to 1.75%, with seeing that demand for money, more demand for goods and services, hiring demands. And now we're seeing it cool off a little bit to where today, you know, we're sitting at 1.32% this morning. So the anticipation that inflation is going to tick up and is heating up the economy, but not to the point where it will prohibit growth and putting pressure on rates. So we see the rates coming up, which they have, but we see them tailing off as this huge burst of economic activity coming out of the what we hope is the back end of the pandemic, putting pressure on the economy. So rates were very low on the 10-year note. Economy heats up, rates go up to 1.75. Most have accepted that rates are going to be a little bit higher with more demand, but we don't see the rates on the 10-year note pushing up, you know, to 2.25, 2.5, 3%, and now we're back, you know, getting into 1970s inflation. We don't see that happening. We see an uptick on inflation and rates, but we don't see a spike up to where it's hurting growth. And, you know, it looks like the Fed's going to kind of stick to their guns for a while. And they may be right. They may be right. You know, what we're seeing now is an uptick in pressure on rates, and then it'll cool off as this huge burst of activity coming out of the pandemic kind of abates.
Lots of thoughts going through my head. The first, of course, is food prices have skyrocketed. Gasoline is almost at an all-time high. I was in downtown Los Angeles about 2 weeks ago. I saw a gas station. It's always high. It's the one right next to Alvera Street in downtown LA. It was over $5 a gallon, which is absurd. Now, we drive more in California than other states. We know that. And that's one of the reasons that the cost is so high. I think the average right now is around $4.40 a gallon, where a year ago it was under $4. And I'm concerned about that because I do drive a lot.
Yeah, I hear you. And just to add to the misery index regarding a price on a gallon of gas. Several gas stations in Beverly Hills are close to $6 a gallon. You know, one of the most freeway locked areas of Southern California, Beverly Hills. So if you want gas there, you're gonna pay for it. That's why I always load up outside of Beverly Hills. But, you know, looking at the price of crude now, this morning at about $72 a barrel. Okay, we were hanging out for several months at about $45-$50 a barrel. Okay, for months and months, leading up to the end of the last year and the beginning of this year, and now we're at 72. Again, you know, we're seeing this correlation of coming out of the pandemic. People are getting out more. They're spending on goods and services that they weren't spending on before. Granted, you had the stay-at-home economy and purchases online, which went nuts. And now folks are spending elsewhere in addition to online. So driving more, getting out more. We see that price of oil, which was so low, and the demand had backed off so much, not just here in the U.S., but globally, but picking up. and you know where it probably should be, right around where it is now with demand. And granted, it's being offset by other areas of energy, electric and so on, but you know, as we know, the primary is oil.
I know that in my opinion, and the oil companies were making a ton of money at $2 a gallon, and that's where gas in this country should be. But there are oil cartels that control things, and politics. I was on the East Coast in early March, and the taxes on gas are about the same where I was as they are here in California. Everybody says California taxes are high gas.
And they are comparatively high.
And they are comparatively high, but the supply and demand here in California is certainly more than in some parts of the East Coast. This is the Anderson Files with Mike Anderson. I'm Mark Allen, kind of grilling Mike on this edition of the Anderson Files. And you can find the Anderson Files everywhere, especially at podclips.io. I'm Mark Allen, sitting in for Mike. Let's move on, and I want to kind of bring inflation and employment together. And also talk about real estate at the same time. People who have houses to sell are asking, say, $1 million, and they are getting offers of over asking price of hundreds of thousands of dollars. Supply and demand. There's not enough supply of houses in California, in other parts of the country, and so the pricing is going up. Is that the same kind of thing that's happening with goods and services?
A couple of things. First, for real estate, it's really the biggest factor is lack of supply, a sufficient supply, number one. Second, it's supported by very historically low interest rates. That's number two, is that. And overall, you know, the medium household in the United States, while there's been, you know, literally tens of millions of people that were impacted in a very negative way with during the core portion of the pandemic, you know, there were a lot of households that held their own and built up cash. And as we know, through the stimulus checks that have been mailed out a couple rounds, you know, a lot of that cash is built up. But for real estate, it's really those factors. And then you have food and services in pricing, really, because the demand for certain items have just skyrocketed from a point where the demand had fallen dramatically, and the resources to produce those products also declined. So you have a certain food product, and the demand went down during COVID, the core part of COVID. So that producer backed off on producing their product. Then we come out of the pandemic primarily, and these manufacturers, these producers of goods and services now have to catch up to produce this extended explosive demand. So it's hitting right at a time when they're almost least capable of adjusting to this increase in demand. Now, if they just kept producing what they were producing at the same level during, you know, the darkest days of the pandemic, you know, coming out of this and pricing pressures would have been a little bit more not as noticeable. But here they are, you know, they're coming off, you know, producing less at a time that all of a sudden, you know, the gas is put on at 100 miles per hour. So this adjusting going on in the supply side and the supply chain is adjusting. So we're seeing, that's where we're seeing this increase, but it should abate as things start to adjust, especially on the supply side.
And that's also tied into employment. We had high unemployment, and employment numbers are falling. Unemployment numbers are falling. People are going back to work. There are new jobs being created more now than in the last 4.5 years, but it's slow. It's still that supply and demand, I guess. And there, people have jobs open, but nobody's applying.
Yeah, so we've got this morning, jobless claims fell to 360,000. So as of last week, so that's a post-pandemic high. So the employment numbers are getting better and better. As you said, more are regaining employment, which is great, but the labor market is still healing. We, at the same time, we have a situation where some employers can't find the workers that they need in the area of the country that they need them. So we've got tens of thousands of open jobs there in different parts of the country in different industries, but there aren't enough people to fill them because where they are in that part of the country, those folks aren't there, or they're not skilled enough to fill those jobs. So we're seeing, you know, those that became unemployed, especially in small business, recovering slowly. And then you've got other employers that are looking for folks that can't find people. So there's this adjusting going on. In the balance, what we're seeing is this pressure on wages to go up. And big debate over the last couple of years, how do we, in the country, how do we get wages to, for the average worker to increase? Because for guys, we're talking 10, 15 years, medium household wages in the United States actually went down in the United States. So this, wow. And it's not a Republican problem. It's not a Democratic Party problem. It's across the whole country, goes across every party. It doesn't matter. That has happened. And what we're seeing, it, you know, your fault, my fault, nobody's fault, in the words of John Wayne. It's something that has just happened. And what we're seeing now, though, is this natural increase in wages. And, you know, part of the good thing is the wages are going up. It's probably going to be passed on to the consumer to a certain degree. And also, what it's putting, it's going to put less pressure on the government, especially the federal government, to feel like they have to engineer something to increase wages. It will just happen on its own.
And I need a one-word answer. Are these jobs skilled or unskilled, or are they across the board?
Across the board. Across the board. So, you know, you've got the McDonald's that can't find enough, you know, teenagers to fill those positions to, you know, a manufacturer cannot find technical people to produce certain types of products.
Got it. Hey, Mike, thank you very much for letting me sit in and talk about the market update, interest rates, inflation, and employment here on The Anderson Files. And now I turn it back to you.
Thank you, Daryl Wayne, engineer, Mark Allen, producer, and today's host. Mark, thanks so much. It's always a pleasure to work with you on an episode. I'm Mike Anderson, and this is The Anderson Files on podclips.io, powered by InfoGen Labs. Keep calm and keep listening.
You've been listening to The Anderson Files with Mike Anderson. Visit us at podclip.io and check on the financial box for more information on The Anderson Files.